Ernest, what's up? Look, if creating content is more than just a passion project for you, it's time to make the passion profitable. With Kajabi, you can easily diversify your revenue, build your brand, and transform your audience into loyal customers. I know firsthand how challenging it can be to juggle content creation and business development, but Kajabi makes it easy to streamline everything in one place. As a creator, you are your brand, so your business should reflect exactly what you envision. With Kajabi, not only can you build your business your way, but you can also keep every cent of what you earn. It's an all-in-one platform that lets you focus on what matters most, your content and your audience. And let's face it, we all need a little help sometimes, especially when you're a one-person show. But you don't need to hire a full-time team. You just need Kajabi. Kajabi is a leading all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue. Whether you're a coach, content creator, or educator, Kajabi makes it easy to transform your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, and more. The best part? Kajabi doesn't take a cut of your revenue. Everything you create is owned and controlled by you, so you keep 100% of what you earn. On top of that, Kajabi gives you robust analytics, easy payment options, email marketing tools, and customizable website templates, everything you need to grow your business seamlessly. And here's the thing, you don't need a massive audience to make sustainable income. Thousands of creators are making six and seven figures with Kajabi, even with less than 50,000 followers. So if you're navigating the challenges of generating revenue as a creator, Kajabi can be the game changer you need. Right now, Kajabi is offering an incredible deal, a free 30-day trial to help you kickstart your business. Just head over to kajabi.com/earn to get started. That's kajabi.com/earn. Join the creators and entrepreneurs who've made over $7 billion on their platforms and take control of your financial future with Kajabi today. Kajabi.com/earn. Don't miss out on this opportunity to turn your passion into profit. Earners, what's up? Y'all know the adage, buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise flagship fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise flagship fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/earn. That's fundrise.com/earn. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise flagship fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
Earners, what's going on? Listen, EYLU is relaunching, revamping, retooling. That's right, we're creating a new educational experience that's more expansive. Shadi, tell me what we got.
Yes, 2023. We got a lot in store, a lot planned for you guys. So you know that EYLU already includes monthly financial planning calls with me, book club calls with Troy, real estate calls with MG the Mortgage Guy, access to the Home Buying Blueprint, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Part of the revamp will include 27 local chapters from across the United States, live interactive teaching, hands-on, not just pre-recorded videos, plus 15 brand new curriculums.
The biggest just got bigger.
Head over to EYLUniversity.com. That's EYLUniversity.com. See you there.
Well, live from EYL.
Yes.
We're back. It's a Thursday night.
Yes, sir.
How's everybody doing? We live.
Where else would you rather be?
Come on now. Who's that?
Where
Stefan?
Else, where else would you rather be?
So, Stefan in the check. And what's going on? First person in the chat. What's going on? How you feeling tonight?
For sure, for sure. So yeah, we're gonna get into a lot during this live. It's actually something that we haven't done in a while as far as talk about real estate in depth from a real like holistic perspective, mm-hmm. On the first time home buying perspective. So you know, this is something that we thought was beneficial and something that was definitely needed. So We will be talking with MG, the mortgage guy. He's actually the first person that we had on the platform that ever spoke about real estate.
Changed the game.
For sure.
Yeah, changed the game.
That was over 5 years ago. So, it's a lot going on as far as rates cuts and so much other stuff going on. So I think
we get to talk from the perspective every Monday night about how the rates affect the market from the stocks and from investing in that side of it. We dabble in real estate a little bit, but tonight, especially when we see rate cuts that are happening, the Fed just announced last week. Now we get to take a deep dive into this avenue, which is very, very beneficial and one of the leading ways that people create wealth for their family. So it's gonna be packed with information, and I'm excited.
Yeah. All right, so we're about to get this started. Before we get started, I need everybody to do me a favor. Share this link.
Let's do it.
Share this link to three people that are looking to buy a home or looking to refinance a home or looking to buy their dream home. This is something that's gonna be extremely valuable. And also, just wanted to let everybody know, we got a special bonus episode this week.
Yes.
Sunday at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we have Michael Vick. Shout out to Mike Vick. He just dropped a new docuseries on the rise of the black quarterbacks. So make sure you check that out. So without further ado, we're going to bring up our guest for the day, MG, the mortgage guy.
Yeah.
My brothers. What's going on?
What's good with you, man? How you feeling?
You know, I woke up this morning. God is the greatest.
That's a fact.
Man, you're looking marvelous, man. Skin's glowing.
You know, life is good, brother. Life is good. You know what I'm saying?
Looking exfoliated out there.
You know, a little moisturizing, you know, exfoliating, damn. You know, pause. You know what I'm saying? But you got to get it right, you know?
That's a fact,
man. So, Matt, how's it going, man?
You know, I'm excited that you guys are doing this. You know, EYL is the biggest ever. Please, let's not make no mistakes about that when it comes to this financial literacy content space or just in general, right? No one has done it like you guys have done it ever. So I just want to be very clear on that. So for me to be on the platform, like you said, episode 12 is the GOAT episode, in my opinion, and for always would be the GOAT episode. So 5 years has flown, and I'm just happy that you guys are still having this type of dialogue and this conversation still 5 years later. And, you know, we got to teach the people and educate them at the highest levels that we possibly can. So I'm excited to be here, and I'm ready to go, man.
Yeah, a lot can change in 5 years, but the fact that people still have the appetite for it tells you that there's groundbreaking change that's happening, man. So I'm excited to have you back, my brother.
Sure, absolutely. Man.
So this is about the people. We want to make sure that we give as much information as possible. So this is important that we're actually talking to somebody that actually does this for a living. So can you just, before we start, for people that might not be familiar with you, can you talk about like your professional background, you're not just somebody that online that does this, right? Just give your number, explain your resume and why you're qualified, to actually talk about real estate.
All right. So Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, but I'm better known as MG, the mortgage guy. I've been in the mortgage business for 21 years. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, black do not crack. The rumors are true, right? The rumors are true. So 21 years I've been in this business. I funded over $1 billion worth of real estate transactions in my career. I run a division of a mortgage bank based here in New York. We do business in 26 states. And I'm looking to scale and hire a loan officer. So if you're a loan officer, contact me. Let's grow, let's scale. But you know, this is something I do, man. I do this every single day. I eat, sleep, shit, real estate, right? This is all I do. This is all I know. And it's a beautiful business to be in. And I really feel like, especially over the past 5-6 years of working with you brothers in collaboration on many different things, I really feel like my fingerprint is on the wealth of the black community, the black and brown community, when it comes to real estate wealth building. So I'm always honored to be able to come on a platform like this and share my expertise and share my knowledge. And hopefully it's going to help one person, 10 people, 1,000 people, whoever's going to watch this episode, get into their first home, get into their dream home, or even buy their first investment property. So, you know, this is what I do. And we also do commercial real estate as well. So I know we don't talk about commercial real estate a lot, but, you know, that's something that I also help people with as well. So, you know, I've helped thousands of people directly and indirectly buy real estate.
We thank you for your services, man. Just really quickly, you said 5 years have passed. This is true. You've done a lot of the shows, a lot of live events. I want to talk about the impact. How have you seen the impact over the past 5 years since we started this journey with you? What have you seen in the community? Some of the things that have been encouraging.
So when people come up to me, I mean, look, first of all, I'm just a mortgage guy, right? I remember doing our first episode in Troy's house and I told them to delete it, right? Like, I thought it was terrible. I thought it sucked. I said, that was my first ever podcast. And to go from that to now, people run up on me every single place I go. They want to take pictures with me. They want me to sign their books. They got questions for me. That I'm a mortgage guy. Right. And for people to come up to me and treat me like I'm an entertainer, an athlete, or a rapper, just because I taught them something that they didn't know. I mean, it's truly humbling. It's truly a blessing. And I thank you guys for having these type of platforms and focusing on this, because this is something that was not taught to our community. And to be honest with you guys, when I first started doing this, I thought everybody knew this stuff, right? Like, who doesn't know about FHA, conventional, or how to buy a home? And you guys kind of showed me, like, no, people don't know this stuff. So it's your duty to go out here and speak about it. And I'm glad I listened. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad I listened. And I now won't shut the hell up, because I'm going to talk about real estate, how to get these deals right, how to analyze them. So that way our community could not only buy real estate, but sustain the real estate, because just as quick as you can get approved for a loan and get a home, the bank will take it away if you start missing payments and stuff like that too. So it's about sustaining home ownership, which is going to sustain wealth in our community.
Let's do it. So, okay. 1200 people want to check in, hit the like button and share, and please share this out to 3 people. So let's get into this. I don't want to make them wait too long. But before we start, I just want to preference this by saying that real estate is extremely important. You know, I just put a post up today. The average person is going to pay $330,000 in rent before they buy their first home. So, like you said, the education is not there for most times. That's the biggest purchase that a person could make in a lifetime is a home. And if you think about it, from the time that we start school in pre-K to the time, even if you get your master's degree, most of the time you have zero education on home buying. It's pretty alarming, and this is why a lot of people don't know how to go about it, right? And then a lot of times people are scared to ask questions, or they feel embarrassed because they, you know, feel like they should know something. But if you don't really have a background in real estate, then how would you know, right? And then you just go to the bank and you hope that the bank, you don't know if the bank is taking advantage of you or if they're missing out on something that you might qualify for, or you know, so it just leads to people just becoming generational renters, because that's what you know, that's what you're comfortable with. But a lot of times people look at buying a home as something that's like way out of the possibility. But it's not. It's something that, you know, you can be a homeowner. It's going to take work. It's not something that you just snap your fingers and you just have a home. But whether it's your first time home, or we're going to talk about jumbo homes or mansions, we're going to talk about real estate investing as well. I've seen somebody put in the chat, is this just for first-time home buyers? We're going to talk about a lot of different stuff. So strap on your seatbelts, get your popcorn, and let's get it, man. Let's get into it.
Yeah, man. All right, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's share the screen. All right, let me put the screen up here. And let's get busy. All right, there you have it. All right, y'all. Can y'all see the slides? Type yes in chat if you can see the slides. Can y'all hear me well? I hope you guys got your notepads, your pen and paper. Let's get some notes going. All right. Troy, we taking questions too, right?
Yeah, we're gonna do that a little later, or we might do it in between. We definitely will be taking questions from the chat for sure.
I saw somebody had a question that I need to have answered as well. So yeah, I'm watching the chat, man. Let's do it.
All right, so let's do it. All right, so like Rashad said, right? The average person spends about $330,000 before they buy their first home. And I think everybody on this chat, you should be excited about home ownership. Buying your first home is a huge milestone. I mean, there's so much reports and so much data that's tied into home ownership as a whole, how it helps create wealth, right? For people, that first property. So everyone here, if you're not in chat, if you own a home, type homeowner. If you are renting, type renter in chat. Let's just make sure, let's check the temperature of the room right now. Who is here? If you're a homeowner, type homeowner. If you are a renter, type renter in chat. But everybody who's a renter, you should definitely be excited about all the possibilities and things that's going to happen with homeownership over the next couple years. I know everybody's talking about it's so expensive with interest rates, which we're going to talk about later. But you also have to understand it's not going to get cheaper. I hate to break it to you. I'm not going to give you no fear-mongering things talking about the market is going to crash. It's not going to happen, right? It's predicted over the next 5 years. Whoever buys a home in 2024 in the next 5 years, they will gain at least $100,000 worth of equity in a home in the next 5 years. So it's not going to get cheaper, ladies and gentlemen. And as these mortgage rates continue to drop, home prices are only going to rise because it's going to be more people in the marketplace. All right. So be excited about home ownership. Go out here and execute at a very high level. Now, before you go out and execute, financial planning is very key. Most people always ask me, where do you start first? Right. And you have to start, I think, number one, with that mindset. You got to be disciplined to buy real estate, right? Because it's a big investment. Whether you're buying real estate, investing properties, or you buying your first home, it comes with a lot. So you got to be mature enough to handle the responsibility of paying your bills on time and maintaining the property. But you also have to financial plan properly, right? Make sure you got the right budget. Make sure you're not overextending yourself. Make sure you have enough saved for your down payment, your closing costs, and most importantly, for your reserves. All right. Everybody type reserves in chat. Right. Reserves are extremely important. Too many people are house rich and cash poor. So you don't want to be house rich and cash poor because life, ladies and gentlemen, and anything can come up. So you want to have enough money to cover at least 3 to 6 months of mortgage payments. God forbid anything happens to you. All right. Partnering with the right real estate agent in the beginning and also the right lender is very important, right? You need to work with people that understand the market that you're looking to buy in, right? And most people don't look at when you're buying your first home, they don't look at it like a business, guys. They look at it as they're just like emotional. They're like, they're so happy to buy a home, but you also have to understand real estate is a business. If you can get tax deductions on it, you need to treat it like a business. So hiring the right team, not just from your real estate agent, but hiring the right loan officer slash lender, hiring the right contractors, you know, hiring the right attorney. Make sure you have a team in place, and all these things should be in place before you go out here and sign a contract. Because what I see, one of the biggest mistakes that people make, they go out here trying to buy homes and buy real estate, and they don't have nothing in place. And they're only dependent on the referrals from the realtor or the loan officer. And they trusting that these people are going to treat them right and treat them the right way or give them the right service. And not necessarily that's always true. Not everybody's always going to have your best interests in mind. So you have to be the CEO. You have to know as much as each of these professionals. You don't need to know everything they need to know, but you need to know enough to have intelligent conversations so you can make sure that you're hiring the right people. And that's why Earn Your Leisure, MG, we do content like this and we educate at scale. So that way you guys have enough tools in your tool belt so you can go out here and make the right decisions. All right.
MG, so when you asked the question, homeowners versus renters, it was about a 50-50 split, man. So You told me about the team that we need to build. At what point in this process, if I'm a renter and I'm looking to buy, do I get pre-qualified or pre-approved for the house or the property that I'm looking at? And if there's a difference between the two, please let us know.
All right. So let's go to steps to getting pre-approved. So you want to get pre-approved first. Once you have your budget, your finances, and you know everything, and you're comfortable, you have your real estate agent, you have all these people picked out that's going to be in your team, then you want to go to your lender and then get yourself pre-approved, right? Now, here's the thing that you guys need to know. There's three types of quote unquote pre-approvals out there, right? You have a pre-qualification letter, you have a pre-approval, and you have a fully underwritten pre-approval, right? A pre-qualification is garbage. It's not worth the paper it's printed on. Nine times out of 10, they're not running your credit. They're not looking at your financials. You're telling the lender exactly what your numbers are. Hey, I looked at Credit Karma. It says I have a 750 credit score. I make $300,000 a year, and my budget is this, right? And they'll give you a pre-qualification number based on that. Throw that shit in the garbage, please. It's not worth the paper it's printed on. A pre-approval is when you give your documents, right? The documents that you need, if you are W-2, you need your last 2 years W-2s, last 2 months of bank statements, 30 days of pay stubs. And if you're getting a gift, you need to get a gift letter, et cetera, but you need to submit that information into your lender. They're going to review your credit and do a hard pull on your credit. And then from there, they're going to run your loan application through desktop underwriting, right? And then that desktop underwriting system is going to come back with an approved eligible. And then that means you are pre-approved. You get your letter, you go out shopping. Now, if you're working with a great loan officer, they're going to pre-underwrite your documentation. So that pre-approval letter could be solid and get you to the closing table. But the one that I love the most, y'all, is that fully underwritten pre-approval. That's when the loan officer is taking it one step further and they're taking all that documentation and they're submitting it to underwriting before you even get into contract. Now, when they submit that into underwriting, the underwriter now is going to review your file, review your loan, and they're going to either make an approval or a decline, right? And if they approve, then you are what's called conditionally approved. So you'll get a commitment letter and it'll tell you exactly what you need to close, right? So if the underwriter doesn't like that you got these large deposits, you'll know that ahead of time. If they don't like your pay stubs, you'll know that on time. But one of the three main things on that commitment letter will be they need a title report, an appraisal, and most importantly, a contract to sell. So you as the buyer now have a commitment from the bank. Now, I need everybody to understand how powerful this is. Remember, a loan officer does not make an approval decision on behalf of a bank. I'm going to repeat that. A loan officer does not make an approval decision on behalf of a bank, only the underwriter. So when you have this conditionally approved, underwritten pre-approval letter, that's pretty much gold. That's pretty much cash. The bank is going to lend you the money if you can meet the conditions that they have on that letter. So now when you're going out there shopping for a home, it's going to make it more competitive for you when you're putting in your offers. So even if you have like an FHA or conventional loan or VA loan, if you're putting down minimum down payments, you can still now compete with the buyer who might be putting down 10%, because maybe they only have a pre-qual or a pre-approval letter. But if you can show the listing agent and the seller that you've been through underwriting and you can close pretty quickly because all your documents have been vetted and only thing you really need is the appraisal, contract, and title, that might win you an offer. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, if you can work with a lender that offers their services, take full advantage, especially in this upcoming season that we're about to enter with interest rates about to drop again. Make sense, y'all?
I got you.
Facts. Somebody had asked about the NACA program. We have a video on our YouTube channel about NACA in detail. So if you're interested in that, just type in NACA. Shout out to Dre. We did a whole episode about NACA. But shout out to Dre.
Yeah. Shout out to Fatima in the chat. She said this program is happening just in time for me. She's about to get some real estate property. But Charlie said, when does the title insurance come into play during this process?
So good question, Charlie. So you get your so once you go through, and we kind of skipping ahead through the process, right? So you don't order your title report until you got a contract, right? Once you get that contract and you get that title, then you get that title insurance. The title company will provide that once they send over the actual title report to the bank attorney, the closing attorney, and to the lender. right? So that's when the title insurance will come in play. Now, the title insurance, for those of you who don't know, title insurance protects you and the lender from previous owners, let's just call it their foolishness, right? So if they got bad debts, lawsuits, any of the above, right? That doesn't transfer over to you. So anything that happened prior to the bank investing their money and giving it to you so you can buy this house, the title insurance will kick in and protect you and the lender. So title insurance is extremely important.
Yeah. Good question. It's a great question. I'm glad that you said that. We went a little bit out of order because, yes, once we get pre-qualified, pre-approved, now we need to figure out what type of loans we should be looking for, right? So, like, let's get into that because there's different programs for different people who need different types of assistance. But let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah, man. So there's tons of loans out there, right? So you have the traditional loans, you know, FHA, conventional, VA loans. You know, you have NACA. I know someone mentioned out there, but let's do a brief overview, right? FHA, minimum 580 credit score. You can buy 1 to 4 family properties. All properties must be owner occupied for at least 1 year, okay? Again, 1 to 4 family owner occupied properties. You can even buy with an FHA a mixed use property. Right. So now a mixed use property is basically a commercial building. Now, we have a lot of these mixed use properties here in New York where you might have a bodega on the bottom and 3 apartments on the top. Right. That's a mixed use property. So FHA will allow a home buyer to buy this mixed use property as long as the residential square footage is at least 51% and the likeness of the building is more residential in stature. FHA will allow you to buy a commercial property. So that's perfect. Let's just say we have any business owners here in the chat right now watching this live or going to watch this on a replay. If you have a business that needs a brick and mortar, right, you can go with FHA loan, buy this mixed use, live upstairs, have your business downstairs, and put as little as 3.5% down for a mixed use property. That is a home run. FHA also allows you to get rehab money with the 203K program where you can get 100% of your rehab costs as well, right? So FHA is a terrific program. You can go up to, like I said, 4 families. We're putting down 3.5%. Now, some of the cons about FHA is obviously the PMI, right? The PMI is if you put down less than 10%, it's for the life of the loan. And if you put down 10% or more, the PMI automatically goes away year 11. Right. So that I would say that would probably be one of the biggest cons with FHA. But despite what everybody would believe, FHA loans do close really quickly. Right. A lot of people out there think, oh, if you get an FHA loan, it's going to take forever and you got bad credit. You don't really qualify. No, that's not the case. FHA is a great program. It gives you a higher approval amount sometimes than conventional mortgages because the debt to income ratio requirement is higher than conventional. Now, so
let's do this, though. Before you go on, really take our time. Let's take our time because I want to make sure everybody understands. So even terms like PMI, somebody might not understand what that is, right? Primary mortgage insurance. And even like, okay, the FHA loan, somebody asks, like, is this first time home buyers? Like, you can use that for your first time home, right? And it allows you to put 3.5% down, as opposed to a traditional 20% down, but you have to pay the PMI until you reach 20%, right?
No. So to answer the question about the first-time home buyer, FHA is not just for first-time home buyers, right? FHA,
no, I know it's not just for first-time home buyers, but you can use it if you're buying your first-time home, right?
Correct. You can use it if you're buying your first home, but most people think if I own a home, I can't do FHA, which is not the case. You can do FHA as long as it's going to be your primary residence. Now, the PMI, the private mortgage insurance, or an FHA is called mortgage insurance premium. That only goes away if you put down 10% or more. And it goes away year 11. With a conventional mortgage, if you obviously put down 20% up front, then you have no PMI. But if you put down less than 20% on a conventional mortgage, then that PMI will go away once you can request for it to go away once you get about 20% equity in the home, right? So it's a little bit different than FHA. You don't have to wait that long of a time frame to get the PMI removed. The conventional loan, you can get that PMI removed much faster. And there was something else you said in there, Rashad. What else did you say? I just had a brain freeze.
No, I think that was, yeah. I think that was it. Just wanted to just make sure that they was just understanding everything. But yeah, I think that was it. But somebody asked a question too, though. From the chat, somebody in the chat, Trenton Stewart, he said, "What if he's 1099 and not W-2?"
Good question. Great question. So if you are 1099, you are considered self-employed, Trent. So it's very important. Remember, 2-year work history with all of these traditional loans, right? So if you are 1099, you need to be 1099 for 2 years. But the most important thing, Trent, and anyone else who is self-employed or 1099, your tax returns need to line up appropriately. So let's just say you get $100,000 on your 1099. If you write off $90,000 and tell Uncle Sam that I only made $10,000, you paying income taxes on $10,000, that $10,000 is the money that we're going to use to qualify you. And let's just be real, $10,000 ain't enough to buy no home, right? So if you know you are self-employed and you write off a lot, this is why it's extremely important in the beginning to have a great lender and start mortgage planning, right? Everybody type in chat mortgage planning. Especially my self-employed people, you have to plan for your mortgage. You just can't walk out and say, "Hey, I'm going to buy a house today," and you don't know what your finances is looking like. So having a great lender and also having a great accountant or CPA who understands real estate to guide you to let you know, okay, if you pay less taxes this year, if you write off less, you're going to pay X, Y, and Z amount of income taxes. Is it worth it for you to buy a house and use this income? Or is it better for you just to put 20% down and go with a non-traditional loan where we don't need tax returns, right? So you have to look at both sides of the fence to see what's most beneficial to you as that entrepreneur and trying to get into real estate.
Somebody else asks, can you have more than one FHA at a time?
If you meet the 100-mile rule, right? So if you buy a FHA, to say a duplex in Brooklyn, right? And then you're moving to Atlanta and you want to use FHA again to buy another duplex in Atlanta, and you can prove that you are moving down there as work related, then yes, because it's old Brooklyn and Atlanta is well over 100 miles away. So that is really one of the only circumstances that I've seen get approved when you are looking to have multiple FHA loans. But if you're looking to house hack, right, prior to conventional loans changing the guidelines about a year ago, the strategy was buy the 4-family, use FHA, you know, refinance into a conventional, then go into a 3-family, and then use FHA again. But now that conventional allows 5% down payment on multifamilies for your primary residence, now you don't really need to use FHA more than one time. You can now go the first property, FHA, then the second property, which could be the 3-unit. Now you can use conventional and put 5% down because it's now your primary residence, right? So the strategy for the 4-3-2-1 changed a little bit with that guideline, which is a home run for everybody looking to house hack. But no, you don't need to have 2 FHA loans at the same time to continue to grow your real estate portfolio using the house hacking strategy.
MG, you brought up the FHA loan. We talked about conventional, but when we were at InvestFest, one of the biggest seminars that people were lined up for was the VA loans. So can you touch on that and tell people about the benefits of that, and salute to everybody that's a veteran?
Yes, shout out to everybody who's a veteran. You know, I got my Pops flag right here, so I want to show this, man. Rest in peace, Pops, man. So shout out to all the veterans. Yeah, Mike, I appreciate that. Shout out to Pops right there. So all the vets, all my military folks, you got a special place in my heart, for sure. So salute to all of y'all. But yeah, with the VA loan, you could do 100% financing on your primary residence. Some lenders will go down as low as a 580 credit scores as well, but typically usually 600 to 620 is ideal. And you can buy 1 to 4 family owned occupied properties. One of the great thing about VA loans, you're going to have great interest rates. Even in today's market, they're a little bit lower than FHA, and it has no PMI on the loan, which is a home run, right? And you can use a VA loan twice as long as you have enough eligibility, right, to do so. So VA is a terrific program. I encourage all my military folks out there who's watching this live to please use that VA loan. Use it to the highest and best use. If you can get a multifamily with it with your first one, go ahead, get that multifamily first. And then you can go ahead and probably get a single family with it later on down the road. So VA is an amazing product, and I hope more people use it.
So, okay. So let's get back to the steps. But before we get back to steps, the last detour, you talked about the 4-3-2-1. Can you just explain that for people that don't know what that is?
Okay. So the 4-3-2-1 strategy is only for the folks out there who want to be a landlord. If you want to be a landlord, type landlord in chat, please. I want to see.
This is for the real estate investors.
This is for the real estate investors, but you're using low down payment loans and you're house hacking, meaning you are going to live in this property for the requirements that the guidelines are saying. You're not saying that, hey, I'm going to live here and I don't live there, right? Here at Earn Your Leisure and MG the Mortgage Guy, we do not participate in mortgage fraud. Let me be very clear, okay? We do not participate in that. Okay, this is the disclaimer here, okay? You must live in a property for at least 12 months. That's what the guidelines state. And the guidelines are in your favor to house hack. So do it the right way, so that way you don't have the compliance police knocking on your door. Now, the goal of this is to build your real estate portfolio. 4-unit first, if you live in an area that has 4 units. Live in it for a year, maybe 2 years. Now you don't have to refinance out of that FHA loan. So let's peep it. Since we started off, we just left VA loans. Think about this. You're a veteran. You start off with your VA loan first, 100% financing for family. Then you go FHA for the next one, the 3 family, 3.5% down. Then the next one, you can go conventional with a duplex, 5% down. And then that last property, single family, you can go back to VA if you have enough eligibility and get 100% financing on that one with no PMI as well. So now the cash flow that's coming from all of these units, that 4, that 3, and that 2, which was that 7-9 units right there, can now pay for your dream home. So the purpose of the strategy is most people, when they buy their first home, they're overextending themselves. Everybody trying to keep up with the Joneses. I don't know what the hell is going on these days. Nobody believes in starter homes. Everybody wants the McMansion right now. I just don't understand it. So instead of you people who don't want the starter home getting a nice little townhouse or something like that, start off with the multifamily. Build that portfolio. So that way, by the time you get to that 1 family in 4 years, 5 years, now you got cash flow coming in and you can potentially live for free. So that's the basis of the 4-3-2-1 strategy.
For the people that need a little bit more further explanation on this, right? Most of the time, the American dream is to buy a home, a single family home, right? White picket fence, the whole nine. And people think like that's your dream home. They want to buy their dream home. But, and it's some debate on this, but a home is not technically an asset if it's not producing cash flow. It can actually be a liability. The idea is to say, okay, instead of trying to buy a one family dream home right away, buy a 4-family home in a not great neighborhood, but like, you know, an up-and-coming neighborhood, because the 4-family home is going to be expensive, but usually they don't even have 4-family homes in great neighborhoods anyway. So you buy a 4-family home in a relatively slightly dangerous neighborhood and you live there and you're a landlord and you rent those other three units out, right? Now you establish yourself as a landlord and you're getting rental income from three tenants. After you live there for a year or 2 years, right? Then you can leave, rent the other one out. Now you have four units that you're actually getting rental income from. Now you can move to a slightly better neighborhood. The houses will probably cost a little bit more, but you'll have an asset that's actually producing income that you can add to your W-2 or 1099 income also. And you repeat the process and now you have two other incomes coming and then you're living there. Then when you move out after a year or 2 years, now you have seven units from four family building, a three family building. You do the same in a good neighborhood in a two family home, right? And so by the time you've done this, it might take 8 years, but by the time you've done this process, you have nine units that's producing income. And now you're able to actually have enough income that's coming in that you probably don't even have to work a real job anymore because you have nine units that's producing income. And now you're able to move into the dream house and you have the income from the units that's paying for the house, as opposed to what most people do. They move into their dream house. They don't really have enough money to pay for it. Then they're just working every single month to just maintain the mortgage. And they don't have enough money to invest. They don't have enough money to buy any additional real estate. They get stuck in a 30-year mortgage. That's not a recipe for building wealth. That's a recipe for being in debt until you're 70 years old. So, yeah, that's kind of the ABC version of it. But I think that that's kind of important to, like, fully lay out, because everybody might not get it at first, like, which, you know, you've been doing this for 20 years. So some people are just getting into real estate today, right? So they got to kind of be even how you think about buying a home kind of has to be rewired in your brain so you can just kind of have a different perspective.
It definitely will change your perspective on how you look at it. And I remember 5 years ago hearing you say it, and obviously we tweaked it a little bit, but it was mind blowing as I was sitting in my home doing that interview. But Matt, there's another great question. And I know the 4-3-2-1 was a great strategy, but this is another strategy that I know you like talking about. And Terry M asked the question. They said, I'm about to get married. I own a townhouse. Can we still use my fiance's FHA loan before we get married? And so we're talking about two single people, two different loans before they get married. I know this is one of those topics you love talking about. Yeah, go for it, man.
Yeah, I mean, divide and conquer, right? I definitely love that strategy and congratulations to you guys. But I would say before you tie the knot, if you each can qualify for your own property and it be your owner occupied, you live in one, he lives in one until you get married, then I think it's a great way to start your life together, right? Now you buy a multifamily, he buys a multifamily, you each use FHA if you both can qualify independently of each other, and build your portfolio that way. So now if you can start with a three or four, or even a duplex, right? Say you live in an area that doesn't have three or fours, you start with a duplex, you get a duplex, he gets a duplex. Now you have four units. Now you have cash flow coming in that could potentially pay for now your dream home as well. Now, one of the great things about buying a multifamily, especially with FHA loans, guys, the rental income, the market rental income can be used to help you qualify. Lenders will use 75% of that rental income. So, for example, if the gross rental income is $1,000, a lender will use $750 as income to help you qualify for it. Now, I saw in the comments a little while ago, someone was asking about Airbnb income and does lenders like Airbnb income with these multifamilies? The question is no. The lending landscape has not caught up to the times that we are in now to allow Airbnb. Is very unstable. So what lenders are always going to use right now, guys, is market rent, right? Not rent that you're going to get from Airbnb, or if you got to making your house a content space or anything like that, the guidelines have not caught up to that. But divide and conquer is a great strategy for all you couples out here who want to be landlords and grow your real estate portfolio.
Matt, last thing before we go back to the presentation, if they do this, are they putting that in their personal names, or are they creating LLCs to put these properties in?
Good question, Troy. I'm glad you brought this up, right? No, this is going to in your personal name. This is not going in your LLCs. Guys, when we talk LLCs, we're talking real estate investing, right? We're not talking house hacking, owner-occupied properties. The lender will not finance your LLC. We're looking at you, your personal credit, income, your debt-to-income ratio to get qualified for these properties. So your LLC is not involved at all. And also, I want you guys to stop when you own these homes and they're your primary residence, especially when you're using programs like FHA. Stop doing quick claim deeds and putting the homes into your LLCs after the fact. What you guys can do is trigger what's called a due on sales clause. Type in chat, due on sales clause. This basically means if you change ownership of the property without the lender's written permission, they can call your loan due and make it a balloon payment. And if you don't pay that within set amount of time, typically within 30 to 60 days, they can foreclose on you because you changed the ownership of the property. So do not do a quick claim deed and put your home into an LLC if you have an FHA conventional VA loan without the bank's permission. And 9 times out of 10, if it's FHA or VA, they're going to tell you no. So don't do it. And I know a lot of people like to talk about doing stuff like that here on this internet, but don't always listen to the internet, guys. It's not your friend. I'm here to tell you. Please, don't do it. I see a lot of that going around. Please don't do it.
Right. So that's why it's good to have professionals here and you know, conversations like this. This is actually the most important conversation that, you know, it's a lot of talk right now. A lot of people are getting indicted. A lot of people have different YouTube lives, like on that leaked on their IG live thing. And it's a lot of entertainment, but in the grand scheme of life, none of that is important. These conversations are the most important conversations. And the reality is that this is the only thing that could really save you in this new wave of artificial intelligence and this new wave of, you know, mass layoffs, right? Like, if you don't know how to invest, if you don't own anything, how can you really expect to survive? So I say that to say the price of this admission is free, but we do need support. So we have 2,400 people. That's encouraging. Should be 24,000 people, to be honest with you. So hit the like button. 600 people liked it. It doesn't cost anything to like the video. Hit the like button. Share, because ultimately this actually is life-changing information. If you could buy a home, right, and you've only known renting your whole entire life, your whole entire family's life, you know, what does that do to the trajectory of your family? So you know, I just think that we talk about the problems a lot, but bigger than talking about problems, you have to champion the solution. And if you don't champion the solution, then you're actually part of the problem. So Matt, we are going to continue with the program because I know, like I said, we kind of got a little derailed, but I think it was a lot of good questions that people had in the chat, and just wanted to kind of make sure everybody understood. But we still want to walk them through the actual process of buying a home. I don't think we're fully there yet.
Yeah, nah, I don't think we're fully there. I think we covered a lot of ground for sure. We definitely covered a lot of ground. We spoke about getting pre-approved, the right type of pre-approvals that's out there. Let's talk about, since we're talking about loans, right? Let's talk about down payment assistance. I want everybody, as I'm saying this, type this in chat, right? I'm gonna give y'all 7 down payment assistant loans right now that you guys can go on Google, research, and see if it can help you obtain some money, right? Everybody wants some free money?
Write this down. Write this down, please.
That was your moment to go get your writing device.
Please.
Or your notes.
Let's get your notes. All right. I'm gonna give y'all seven. All right. So you got the National Home Buyers Fund, NHF. You got the Chenoa Fund, CHENOA Fund. You got First Home Down Payment Assistance Loan. You got the Good Neighbor Next Door. That's a HUD program. Bank of America has a community home ownership program. All right, so I want to make sure you're following. All right, you got, for my New Yorkers, you got the Sony May program. All right, so y'all write that down. Y'all take those and y'all run with it. Okay, so you got the National Home Buyers Fund, you got the Chenoa Fund, you got the Good Neighbor Next Door, you got the Bank of America Community Home Ownership Program, and for my New Yorkers, you got the Sony May Mortgage. Google your life away, ladies and gentlemen. Google your life away.
Google your life away. And these are programs that help people with down payments for their home.
Yes. Down payments, closing cost assistance.
American Giant makes great clothing, T-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Et cetera, et cetera. So Google your life away. Then obviously there's tons of things out there. Again, we spoke about VA loans. We talked about NACA, VA 100% financing, NACA 100% financing. You have low down payment programs like Fannie Mae Home Ready. You can do 3% down. And a lot of these programs, you can stack grants on top of it as well. But all you guys got to do, in all honesty, to find grant money is you can just go online and just Google your county that you live in, right? So, you know, if you're in Westchester County, so type in Westchester County home buying grants, closing cost assistance grants, right? And a list of things will come up there. So no matter if you're in Atlanta, Georgia, right? Every city, state has this information. I just gave you a couple just so you can have a good start in place. But since we were talking about loans and programs and things like that, and I know, look, we in times where not everybody's going to have money for down payment and closing costs. That's why the barrier to entry for real estate is much harder. And this is why people gravitate more towards stocks and investing, which is a great thing, right? But let's not forget, real estate is a brick and mortar. It's never going to go nowhere, right? This is also asset class that our people need to own. So there are so many programs out there that are being underutilized just because people just don't know the information. So I just wanted to give y'all that gift right there, and hopefully it will help somebody get some money so they can achieve their goals of home ownership.
That's good stuff. Let's talk about, how can first-time home buyers boost their credit score to manage debt-to-income ratios for better mortgage approval? And talk about debt-to-income ratio, because people hear about that, but what does the bank look at? What does that really mean? How can they avoid having bad debt-to-income ratio?
So DTI is extremely important when we're talking conventional FHA, VA loans, right? And this is why I kept on saying, if you qualify, right? So how do you manage your debt to income ratio is keep your utilization low on your credit cards, right? And that will also keep your credit scores high. So if you keep your balances below 10%, that will have, and I know the rule of thumb is typically 30, but you want to be 10% or lower. That will increase your credit scores to extremely high levels and also have those minimum payments low. If you start paying your credit card payments on the statement close date versus the due date, that also will increase your credit scores. Because remember, when your statement closes, that's what the creditor is reporting to the credit bureaus when it closes, right? So if you have a balance, let's just say your credit card limit is $25,000, let's just say $10,000 for easy numbers, right? But you closing at, your availability is $3,000, right? Your balance is $3,000. So when it closes, they're going to report to the credit report $3,000. So that's a 30%, you know, mark that you're using. Your utilization is 30%. But if you pay down to $1,000 on that close date, it's going to look better for you. So now they're going to report that $1,000 as your balance, and now you're 10% or less, and that's going to boost your credit score. So that's an easy tip for everybody out there who might have credit card debt to keep your utilization low. It'll keep your credit score high and also keep your minimum payment low. Now, also another tip I want to give you guys is if you have car loans in your personal name, this is extremely important. If you have an LLC or you have a business, see if you can go to the bank and refinance that car out of your personal name into your business name. If you can refinance that car into your into your business name, that will also decrease your debt to income ratio as well. That will keep your your DTI low, because now that payment is not on you. It's on the business. So now you have to make sure, that the LLC is making a payment from that LLC's bank account for at least 12 months. And then you also want to make sure when you file your taxes, you're filing your taxes with that car being shown as an expense to the business. So that way, underwriter will go ahead and omit that from your liabilities. Now, we all know cars are extremely high right now. You know, a Honda Accord might cost you $800 a month these days. You know what I'm saying? Sure. So if you can do it strategically, y'all, and have your business now, because everybody in here probably got an LLC who's watching this right now. So, and most of you are not doing nothing with these LLCs. This is one thing you can do with your LLCs, right? Create that business for the LLC. Hell, put your car on Toro when you know you're going on vacation or something like that. So now it's a business. Be smart about that. So that's just two little quick hacks that I would give you, or tips, I should say, that I would give you to try to lower your debt to income ratio. But remember, you know, if you don't, make sure the business is making money to pay for it, right? Because I know a lot of people talk about stuff like this, but if your business ain't making no money, then you shouldn't really be having a hard condo anyway. So just, I want to just put that disclaimer out there. Make sure you got money coming into this business as well. Figure it out. Everything is figure outable. So that's kind of the two things I would say to increase your credit scores, but also decrease your debt to income ratio so you have more buying power to buy a home.
Your credit score is vitally important. Almost equally as important is your interest rate. And that has been the talk over the past 2 months, definitely in the stock market, but obviously in the real estate world. So let's talk about navigating interest rates, the timing of it, when to lock them in, float down options, the whole world of interest rates, because we hear it a lot, right? We saw during the pandemic, we were at historic lows, right? 2%, 2.8%. We got up to 7.5. We're coming down. Fed rate cut last week. November, there seems to be some more. Talk about the impact and how we navigate this to make sure that we lock in at a good time and a good rate.
Boys and girls, I am happier than a pig in shit. The revolution is about to begin again, and I cannot wait, right? Interest rates are getting lower, and I've been screaming at the top of my lungs for the past 2 years and telling everybody sit here and buy real estate. Buy real estate while these rates are higher, because you can always refinance when they become lower, right? Right now, what's about to happen, ladies and gentlemen, there's about to be millions of buyers that's going to re-enter this market. As soon as these rates start hitting the fives, which we're not too far off of right now, the market closed today on a national average around 6.25% on a 30-year conventional mortgage for a primary residence, FHA loans, you can get right now in the mid fives, 5.5%, right? But when that conventional rate goes below 6%, man, it's going to get crazy out here. So what I would tell people, if you are in the market or in contract or putting in offers and you're being aggressive, make sure the lender that you're working with offers a float down option. Okay? Everybody type in chat, float down option, because this is extremely important and a lot of people don't even know this even exists. So a float down is basically when you lock into an interest rate with your lender and you have this float down option. If the market drops while you're in contract, and at least 2 weeks before closing, most lenders will say, maybe a week before closing, some other lenders, right? Every lender has different guidelines, but typically within a week or two before closing, if your rate, if the interest rate drops for your scenario, at least a quarter to a half a point. Again, every lender has different guidelines, but I'm going to just say a half a point, right? If your rate goes from 6.25 today and a week from now drops to 5.75, you can exercise that float down option and take advantage of the low rate in the market and basically renegotiate your rate. Now, this will be a cost to you up front. It could be a half a point, a half a percentage of the loan amount, which if it's $100,000 loan, you know, it could be $500, right? Or it could be 1 point, right? So it just really depends on the lender and their guidelines, but it can cost you anywhere between a half a point to 1 point up front as a part of your closing costs. But the float down option is a terrific option for home buyers who want to get into a contract right now, but may have some reservations about locking in. I will highly recommend locking in with this option, so that way if it does adjust for your benefit before closing, you can take advantage of that low rate. Because I will tell you this, when the rates do drop, they drop fast and then they go back up faster, right? So that timing, you have to be working with someone who's studying the market constantly, and that timing has to be there. Right. If that time is not there, because it's here today, it could be gone tomorrow. So lock in with the float down. It's a terrific option for everybody out here who's looking to buy real estate.
So what was DSCR loan? That's
investment properties. Y'all want to go to investment properties now? Y'all want to keep it here first?
All right. Let's keep it here first and we'll go back to that later.
All right. We're going to come back to that. I see it in the chat.
Yeah, I've seen it a couple of times. I gotta settle
FG,
down.
We see you, bro. We see you. We're gonna get through it.
But yeah, I mean, but that's you know, navigating interest rates in this time frame, that's what you want to look at. Now, if you're someone who's not in the market right now, you gotta really pay attention. Like if you're not in the market to buy, if you say you want to buy in 3 months, you want to buy in 4 months, that's when you really have to now start paying attention to the economic news, the economic indicators, and looking at, you know, everybody's like, oh, the Fed funds rate, right? Mm-hmm. But the Fed funds rate does not directly control if mortgage rates are going to get lowered, right? The Fed funds rate controls the overnight lending that banks do to another, and that really directly impacts short-term lending, credit cards, auto loans, home equity line of credits. Mortgage rates, when it does get lower, sometimes go down, but even when they lowered last week, the mortgage rates ticked up by like 10, 15 basis points, slightly higher, right? Mm-hmm. And it still really hasn't recovered. Like last week, it got as low as 6.1 on a national average. Today, it's around 6.25, right? So just because the Fed's lowered the Fed funds rate, it doesn't necessarily translate to the mortgage market. What I pay attention to is the 10-year treasury and the mortgage-backed securities. That's what's really going to directly impact the mortgage rates. And this is why you need to be working with an elite loan officer who really understands treasuries, MBSs, so that way they can give you expert elite advice, because not all loan officers are built alike.
MG, are there situations where we can actually lower our rate by buying down the interest rate, or potentially opening up at a financial institution where that is an incentive? If I open my account at such, let's take JP, and that's my borrower, they might give me a quarter off my loan. Talk about that, like, as another way or strategy to get that interest rate down.
Absolutely. So if you're going with big retail banks, like you said, the JP Morgans of the world and stuff like that, sometimes they offer specials if you're opening up other, if you're starting another relationship with them, right? If you're bringing money over to from another bank, if you're opening up checking accounts, you know, I know like banks like M&T, if you open up a checking account and you have direct deposit, they'll give you probably 1/8% off. Don't quote me on that. But you know, these things come into the market just depending on the lender that you're dealing with, right? And that's mostly like the bigger banks would do that. If you're bringing in more relationship to that bank, because those lenders, those retail lenders, they love having multiple accounts, multiple relationships with one person, right? Whether it's business banking, checking, savings, you know, retirement, mortgages, auto. So the more you have with them, the better the deal they'll probably give you on your mortgage rate. Now, when it comes to buying down your rate and buying down points, this is a great strategy you can use as well. It's calling like a 2-1 buy down strategy, where you're using a seller's concession to give you like a teaser rate for the first 2 years, which is much lower than market, right? So for example, if today's rate, if you're doing a 2-1 buy down and the rate is 6.25% today, right? You use the seller concession to buy down the rate. In year one, your interest rate will be 4.25. Year two, the rate will be 5.25. And then year three, and for the remaining of the loan, it will be 6.25. So it gives you that option to have a lower payment over the first 2 years. But hopefully within that time frame, the mortgage rates will drop, so you'll be able to refinance that and get into a permanent lower interest rate environment. But 2-1 buy down is definitely a great option for those of you who can get a seller's concession to buy down that rate and get that teaser rate. And if you can't get a full concession, because there's a lot of math behind this that I'm not really going into, it's a lot more details than what I'm saying. We'll be here all night me trying to explain that, and we don't have that type of time. But if you can't get a full concession to do that, because sometimes you can't get a 6% concession or 5% concession to do that, maybe the seller will only give you 1% or 2%, then you can still use that 1% or 2% to just do a traditional buy down on your rate, right? So every point that you pay in discount points, a discount point, for those you don't know, is 1% of the loan amount. So if you're paying 1 point, let's just say, again, let's just do a $300,000 loan, each point will be the equivalent of $3,000. So if you're buying down 1 point or $3,000, then if the rate today is 6.25, the rate will go to 6%, right? So 1 point will bring your rate down 0.25%, right? So that will give you a little bit of savings, not too much. And this is why you got to really look at the numbers to see if it's even worth me or you putting that $3,000 towards buying down your rate to save 50, 60 bucks, or is it best to use that $3,000 to pay closing costs, the other fees, so that way you have more money in your pocket. So, and this is why you got to do a comparison of what makes both sense and sense.
That's a fact. SNC. So, all right. And I understand that this is a lot of information, so you're going to have to watch this video at least 3 times. But the thing is also is that it's not that you have to become an expert in every single thing. Out of this whole hour and a half that we might do this for, maybe 2 things really hit, like apply to your situation, though. That's what you use. Or at the very least, you just become familiar and you can ask questions. So the thing about this is the thing about asking questions. You have to have a certain level of intelligence to even ask a question, right? So it's like most of the time people don't ask questions because they don't have enough information to even ask a question. So you don't need to know the answer, but you just have to be able to ask a question. But you can't ask a question if you're not informed enough to ask a question. So even if you have 10% of the information, well, that's better than zero, because the 10% will actually lend you to more information down the line. So now when you talk to a mortgage broker, when you go to the bank, when you're talking to your real estate agent, you can ask them a question. Now they can inform you, and they're like, oh, you know about this? Oh, yeah. What am I supposed to do with this? Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's the whole point of it. Like, it's not to just become a master in one day. That's not going to happen. But, you know, over the course of time, you build information, and it's like anything else. The more you do it, the more comfortable you become. And after a while, you feel very fluent in the situation. So before we go to investments, I know people want to talk about investing. Jumbo mortgages. What's that?
I love it. So jumbo mortgages, right? So typically when we're looking at jumbo mortgages, these are loan amounts above what Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac will purchase from a lender, right? And loan limits are about to go up anyway. There's a couple lenders that's already, you know, increased their loan limits for 2025. So, you know, a single family in 2025, Fannie Mae will go up to 802,000. It's not official yet, but several lenders have already put it out there because we anticipate that they will in November raise the loan limits again. So any loan amount that exceeds the threshold that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac will buy, right? And so these loans are typically portfolio loans because the government is not backing them. So the lender is lending pretty much their own money on this one. So the requirements to get qualified for this jumbo mortgage is going to be a lot tougher, especially if you're going full documentation. Full documentation, ladies and gentlemen, is when you're providing your W-2s, pay stubs, bank statements, tax returns. That's a full documentation loan. So your debt to income ratio will have to be, you know, 43% or below. And some jumbo lenders want to see you 40% or below. You know, and you can get loan amounts up to 3 million, 4 million, 5 million, just depending on that lender. So, you know, this is when you're trying to buy that mega mansion, that big old dream house of yours, you're going to use a jumbo mortgage. Now, if you are self-employed and you're looking to buy your mega mansion or your dream home that maybe cost you $2 million, $2.5 million, and you don't file your taxes properly and you write off everything, no worry. There are loans out there that can help you without providing all this information, like bank statement loans, where we're using the deposits that you're receiving in your business bank statements over a 12-month period, and the lender will average that out and determine how much income that you're bringing in based off of those deposits, and we can use that to qualify you. This loan is extremely popular amongst entrepreneurs who take full advantage of the tax code. This is going to come at a much higher interest rate than what a paper full documentation jumbo loan is going to get. But it's well worth it to pay that 2% margin higher, 2.5% margin higher in rate than paying probably a couple hundred thousand in taxes, right? So again, that's when you need to mortgage plan if you are self-employed and you're looking to buy this luxury home. You need to have a mortgage plan in place so you know you can weigh out all the pros and cons ahead of time. But there are definitely options out there for all buyers in this jumbo market, whether you're full documentation, whether you're going non-traditional and you want to get that luxurious dream home of yours.
So just really quick on the jumbo loan, it's usually a higher interest rate. Prime example, if the interest rates are 7, you could typically see it at 9 to 10%.
So if you're doing a full documentation loan, and let's just say you're going to like a retail bank, like we just mentioned, honestly, the retail banks are going to give you the best deal. Like a mortgage company, a mortgage broker cannot compete with a retail bank like a JP Morgan because they know you got money. So if you go over there and you bring over $250,000, $300,000 deposit, that they're going to give you a great deal, right? So their rates right now might be in the fives for a $2 million loan on a 30-year fix right now because they're lending, they're making their own rules, so to speak, right? It's their portfolio money. Now, if you are a non-traditional buyer, then that rate today might be somewhere around 7.5% to 8% on this, you know, type of paper. If you're doing non-traditional financing like bank statement loans, light doc loans, P&L loans, you know, things of that nature where you're not showing traditional documentation, you're going to pay a premium for it, right? But you're going to get into the house. And that's most important for these self-employed borrowers because they can afford that payment. If they're buying at that level, they're not really too concerned about that payment shot because they'd rather have a payment that's $500 or $1,000 higher. So that way they don't have to pay $100,000, $200,000 in taxes. So it balances itself out. So the interest rate is important, but it's not as equally as important in looking at the full spectrum from a holistic point of view of where you stand.
So, all right. So let's get into this investing before we leave. So now let's talk about the other, what was it?
It was the DSCR loan.
Yeah. So the DSCR loan. So the DSCR loan stands for debt service coverage ratio. So commercial loans. So, all right, let me start off like this. So in residential, we have DTI. Right? Your debt to income ratio. When you're dealing with commercial lending, we have DSCR, debt service coverage ratio. That is the DTI of the property, right? Now, lenders have now started allowing over the past couple of years, investors who want to buy residential real estate use the same formula and calculation to how we underwrite investment commercial properties. We can now use it in the residential investment space as well, right? So when you're looking to do a true investment property, now this is when you use your LLC, okay? We're not looking at your W-2s, your tax returns, your pay stubs. We don't want to know where your large deposits came from. All of that stuff is irrelevant. The only thing the lender is really going to do from your personal side is run your credit to make sure your credit is above a 620 credit score. Right. And as long as you're above a 620 credit score, depending on how big the deal is, in most cases, you should be OK. Now, we're looking at the property itself when we're looking at DSCRs. So the bottom line is the property cash flowing? If the property is cash flowing, then the lender will lend on this property. So when you're looking at an investment property, you need to know how to analyze that property and underwrite it, not just as an investor, but also from a funding perspective, because we need to know what your operating costs are. What are the expenses of the property, right? We already know property taxes and insurance, but what other expenses are there? Do you have to pay for, you know, your utilities? Do you have to pay the light bill, the gas, the water, the sewage, right? What is all these expenses? And then also we're going to look at property management, right? How much is that percentage? Then you have to save for your CapEx expenses, which is your capital expenditures if anything breaks, right? We're going to put all of this into the calculator to see exactly what those expenses come up. And then also what's the gross income. So at the bottom line is we're looking at, to make a long story short and to put this all in layman's terms, because I don't want to go over nobody's head, we want to make sure that the property is paying for itself and the owners of that LLC are making at least a 20% profit after all the expenses. That is a 1.2 debt DSCR ratio that the lender is looking for. And if it does meet this requirement, then the lender will lend on that property, right? So lenders, and I'm going to be very clear right now. It is much easier to get approved and get funding for investment properties than it is for your first home. Much easier, There's not as much paperwork. There's not a lot of hassle with it. As long as you know how to present the numbers to the lender properly and not over exaggerating them to try to make the deal work, because we're going to do our own due diligence. And if that deal cash flows and a cash flows property, it is going to close. Now, typically when you're doing a DSCR loan, this is going to require at a very minimum, a minimum down payment of 20% if it meets the DSCR requirement of 1.20%. If it doesn't meet that requirement, then the lender will require you to put more money down. So this type of loan is strictly for live men, not for freshmen. If you ain't got the money, say hell no.
Because they're going to want their money, rain, sleep.
Sleep, hell, snow.
That's a fact.
Snow. Rest in peace.
Follow these rules, man.
It's a biggie. Okay. Refinancing? You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about that, or we can. You want to take some questions about this? Because I saw 1,001 questions.
Yeah. I mean, you saw some. If you want, yeah, go ahead, man. All right.
Questions, please.
Somebody asked. Rashida says the minimum down payment of 20%. Yes, it's 20%, and I want to be clear again on that. Only if it meets the 1.2 DSCR requirement. So just because the minimum down payment is there, it doesn't mean that property will cash flow out of it, right? So you might have to put 25%. You might have to put 30%. Whatever it takes to get that property to DSCR and the cash flow, then you have to do it. Now, another thing I want to talk about DSCR, because I saw this question come up earlier, is about the LLC. The LLC does not have to be established for 2 years. The LLC does not need business credit. The LLC could be a brand new LLC. You could open up the LLC on Monday and get into a contract on Friday with that brand new LLC. Okay? Let's be very clear. It could be a brand new LLC because lenders know investors will use multiple different LLCs for each investment property they buy. So you have to understand that you do not need established business credit. It doesn't need to be something that's been in the long standing. Because I get that question all the time. So I just want to throw that out there real quick. What else? You said something about refinancing, right, Shadi?
Before we go to refinance, somebody was asking, is there a difference between this and a hard money loan? Because it sounds like the similarities. Can we draw a similar a difference here? Yeah, go ahead.
It's a big difference. It's separate and apart from hard money, right? Hard money is one thing. DSCR is one thing, right? DSCR loans doesn't have rehab money attached to it. The DSCR loan is for stable rental properties. It's not for rehabbing. When you want to buy a rehab and you do your BRRRR strategy, right? Buy, renovate, refinance, rent, repeat, right? The DSCR loan is used to refinance out of your hard money loan. The hard money loan is, and again, that's different formulas and calculations. Some you need to be at 65, 70% max ARV. ARV is your after renovated value. But you know, I would recommend if you can get 55, 60% ARV on your hard money deal, it's going to make it easier for you to exit out of that hard money and go into your refinance. Because when you're doing a refinance on a DSCR loan, your loan to value, your LTV drops to 70%. In some cases, maybe 75% LTV, but most of the time I tell my people, my mentees, use 70% ARV because you need to be able to, 70% as your max, period. Because if you at 75, you only have a 5% cushion to get out of that hard money to refinance. So if you start off at 55, 60% ARV on your rehab project, now you have a 10 to 15% margin buffer that you can now refinance, maybe pull a little capital out of it too, and now go into your permanent financing with the DSCR loan. So your hard money loan is going to be used to buy the property and fix it up. But remember, hard money, the terms are going to be typically 12 months. You can get past 12 months, but then it's going to get more expensive, which you're going to have to pay to keep extending that hard money loan, right? But again, this is strictly for live men, not for freshmen. Flips flop every day, B. Every single day. So it's very important that you know your numbers. You know exactly what the hell you're doing, because these construction costs can add up quickly, fast, in a hurry. Okay? Like
flips flop every day.
Yeah, you've been on one
every day, B.
You said one earlier. You said like it's definitely look upable.
Everything is figure outable.
Figure outable. That's what it was.
Everything is figure outable, bro.
Okay. We're just gonna go with that.
Yeah. It's a fact.
Okay. I don't want to give too much information because there is a thing called information overload, where your brain just kind of shuts down after a while, right?
Right.
And we've been going hard at this for about over an hour and 20 minutes. We are going to be doing, let's just have a sidebar conversation. So this is a new series that we're going to be doing for EYL, as opposed to just the regular traditional interviews. This is actually the first. And we're going to every week for about maybe 10 weeks. We'll see how it goes. But we're going to be doing different topics. Like how we're doing this right now, we're going to be doing different topics, getting real-time feedback. So you guys in the chat, what would you like to see? Like, what other topics would you like to see in the vein of this, where it's just straight information? It's not necessarily an interview. It's more so just straight teaching for over an hour. So what other topics, it could be anything, would you be interested in learning about? And I think it's going to be this time, Thursday, 9 o'clock. We're taking over a new time, new day. So this was the first one.
Yeah.
So let's see what else. Somebody said book selling, options, trading, tax liens, credit.
Yeah,
stocks, anything, real estate.
It's crazy. As you were talking, man, I'm like, there's so much more we can do. And even the three of us, like even the stuff that we're learning now, I saw somebody put property management. Well, we've all kind of been property managing over the past year and a half. They talked about 203K loans, right? We could talk about construction loans. These things, we're actually going through these processes and learning them as well. So I can't wait to share some of the information that I'm learning right now, right? Because people just think, yes, investment stocks, like, yeah, but like we live like lives too. And like a lot of things happen in our lives. So there's so much more we can share. I'm happy that everybody here enjoyed it.
All right. Well, before we leave, Matt, so, okay. You actually, you know, you get people mortgages and things of that nature, right? So you still work with clients?
Absolutely.
So what is that? How's that work?
So we still work with clients. We are accept, as Kiana would say, we are accepting clients every day.
You don't say.
Shout out to Kiana. We are accepting clients. Yeah. So if anybody wants to work with me and my team, I'm going to put in the chat the email. Just email us garlandgroup@unmb.com. garlandgroup@unmb.com. We would love to help you. Or you can go to my Instagram page, and you know, you can click the link in my bio. You have all the resources there, but I just put it in the chat as well. Email us and just put in the subject that you saw me on EYL live Thursday night. You know what I'm saying? And you know, me and my team could definitely service you. But I want to speak to something, and I'm glad that you guys asked me that question. So I definitely appreciate that, right? I know we're talking about home buying and we're talking about real estate investing, but I want to talk about something that I never really spoke about, and people in this industry really don't speak about, is representation, right? We don't have enough Black and Brown loan officers in America that are helping people that look like us, that walk like us, that talk like us. And you know, it's mind-blowing to me that this is one of the most overlooked industries in real estate that people don't think about getting into, right? So when most people think about getting into real estate, they want to be an investor. Or they say, you know what? I want to wholesale, or I want to be a real estate agent. But I'm going to tell you all, do not discount being a loan officer. This is one of the most, this career has changed my life, right? I'm a college dropout. I have Queens, New York, Andrew Jackson High School education barely. And I've been able to provide a lifestyle for my family and live a life all because of being in the mortgage industry. So you got to really look at, right? Black home ownership and the mortgage industry, the discrimination laws, like Black people 60, 70, 80 years ago, we couldn't even get loans, right? We talk about FHA tonight. Decades ago, we couldn't even get FHA mortgages. They were not, it was law. We could not get FHA loans, right? We need more representation of people on this side of the fence, right? There's statistically, there's probably a little bit over 300,000 loan officers, licensed loan officers in America right now, right? The crazy stat is 70-75% of that is white. 7-8% of that is African-American, with another 12-13% Hispanic. So that means there's a huge opportunity. When I say huge, there's a huge opportunity for everyone who is watching this right now to get into this business and have a great career. It does not cost you a lot of money to get your license. Couple hundred dollars, 25 hours course. You pass the state exam, you get your background check, you get sponsored by a lender, and you can get into this business. Now, is it easy? No. Is it going to be tough? Yes. But if you are a hustler, if you are someone who's looking to grind and get into real estate, you can come into this business and get licensed in multiple states and do business from your laptop and get that Wi-Fi money, right? So one of the things that I'm like passionate about right now is not just for myself, but I feel like, and you asked me something earlier about like in the past 5 years, how things have changed. What you guys, what Earn Your Leisure has helped me really figure out is that, yo, I'm needed. I'm necessary. Like the information that I have, I didn't know that I was needed. And it's only because I've been in this business so long, it just became second nature. So what I want to do is now usher in the new blood that's coming in. I want to grow my mortgage team to unprecedented levels so that way we can close that wealth gap in real estate and help people that look like us. So if you're a loan officer right now watching this, not only if you want to do loans with me, that's fine. But if you're a loan officer watching this and you want to come work with me and my team, shoot me a DM. Tell me where your license at and let's set up a call and let's work together. And if you're somebody who's thinking about getting into this business and wants to learn more about it, Monday I'm going to hold a webinar, free webinar. Everybody come. Learn about the loan officer business. Learn what it takes to really be a loan officer, what you need to do. I'm going to give you like the schools that I recommend, and I'll answer all your questions on this webinar. Because I want to make sure that we have representation. You know what I'm saying? We need representation. We need more Black appraisers. We need more Black inspectors. We need more Black financial advisors. We need more Black everything, right? And we definitely need more Black. 7-8% is only Black. That's crazy. So we need more of us, man. And I'm thankful that you guys gave me the floor right now to just even say that, because it's something that I don't speak about. And I know I speak about home buying and hacks and all this other good stuff to buy property and run it up. But now I want to start speaking to how can you turn yourself and get yourself a career that you can make 6-7 figures in? Yes, you can make 7 figures doing this, and you can do it from behind your computer with Wi-Fi on the phone, right? And with hustle and ambition and good leadership. So come join me and come to the dark side, baby.
You have it,
MG.
Come to the dark
side. Outstanding.
For sure. And it's,
come to the dark side, baby. welcome to my world.
MG the Mortgage Guy on Instagram. I see people ask, what's his Instagram? MG the Mortgage Guy. And like I said, man, this was dope. Maybe we can do a part two if you guys are interested, because a lot of stuff that we didn't even really get a chance to talk about. So maybe we can have a part two sometime down the line. But like I said, this is going to be a new series that we're going to be doing as far as, you know, the webinar series on YouTube on Thursday nights. And it's going to be just straight information on a variety of different topics. So,
which is dope.
Yeah. If you enjoyed this, put some fire in chat. Yeah. Make sure you send this out too, man. This is somebody's Christmas gift, man. Not only should you watch it for yourself, but send it out to your coworker. Send it to your cousin, send it to, you know, whoever you have love for, and encourage them to watch it as well, because like I said, it's just information. So at the very least, I think even if they're not in a position to buy a home right now, having the information will better equip them when they are in that situation down the line, as opposed to just going in blind and making a lot of mistakes, for sure.
Yeah, I think what makes it super dope is that for nearly 6 years, people have watched us ask questions and said, oh, I was going to ask that question. But now they get to watch us ask questions, and we get to see the questions that they want to hear, and we can incorporate both, which just is the evolution, man. So I think it's incredible. MG, we appreciate you, my brother. As always, super knowledgeable, man. I'm sure plenty of people's lives were blessed with the information, and people are going to execute on it, man, which is the most important part. Seeing people execute on the information is the full-fledged moment of, like, fulfillment, right? Like, we can give it, but if nobody's using it, what's the point? So shout out to everybody that's executing.
And this will be saved. This will be saved on YouTube. It's under the live section. It will also be on all the audio podcast outlets. So it'll be on Apple. It'll be on Spotify, just like a regular episode would be. So make sure that, you know, if you want to listen to it on the audio side, you can listen to it then. And, man, so much great information. As I said, we'll be back Sunday with Mike Vick. EYL University, make sure you subscribe. That's a platform that we have that provides so much great information when it comes to credit, real estate, stocks, choice, stock, option, class. We'll talk about your options thing that you did with MU.
Yeah, man. Shout out to everybody that was in the chat. I see some FG. You got that Micron call, man. We've been talking about it for the past 2 months. Actually, our last class, we talked about data centers specifically and some of the things that are going to be needed to make sure those things run efficiently. One of them being security, one of them being storage. And as we saw yesterday, and Micron reported and blew the quarter away, we were up 18%. And so plenty of people made 97% on their money. Think about that. You made 97% on your money within 24 hours, which is incredible. But it talks again to execution. Yes, I can provide the information, show you how to do the research, but until you execute, it doesn't feel real. And a lot of people did. So shout out to everybody that did. All
right. Yeah, and if you join EYL University, you got the Home Buyer's Blueprint in there too, man. So take advantage of the Home Buyer's Blueprint Volume 1 and Volume 2. Shout out to all the earners. So when you join EYL University, there's a lot of real estate content in there, plus real estate courses. So you can't go wrong by being a part of EYL University, man. Yeah. Join today.
I appreciate that. So, all right, man, any last words before we leave?
Thank you. Thank you. This was dope. I love this new platform. I definitely think you guys should continue to expand on this. And I'm forever grateful for always the opportunities that you guys, you know, give me to come on the platform. I don't take it lightly. So thank you all of you guys. I appreciate the love. But, you know, and again, thank you to the people, man. We got 2,400 people. This was basically a super large seminar. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you really think about 2,400 people, that's not no small crowd. That's a big crowd, so we can't take that lightly. So shout out to all the 2,400 people that came here on a Thursday night, 9 p.m., to get this education, to tap in with me, to tap in with my bros. And, you know, hopefully you guys got value from it. If you did, drop some gems and some fires in the chat. And thank you guys for always supporting me. And I love y'all, and I just want to see everybody grow. And, you know, we all deserve to be rich, you know? Pre-order today.
You deserve to be rich. That's a fact.
Pre-order today. You
deserve it.
You deserve to be rich, man. So you're going to get rich tapping into this channel, man. By hook or by crook, man, you're going to get it. So make sure you're tapping into all the resources. And make sure you guys follow me at MG The Mortgage Guy on Instagram and YouTube. And, you know, for those of you who want to attend the webinar to learn about Loan Officer, again, it's a free webinar, 7 p.m. It's going to go for an hour because we got Market Mondays, 8 p.m. So it's going to be 1 hour. And I'm going to answer your questions, and I'm going to show you where to go to get licensed and, you know, answer as many questions as I can in an hour. And hopefully I see you guys in on the dark side, baby. Let's go.
Let's do it. All right, guys.
Love is love, y'all.
Take care. Spread the word. Thank you.
Peace. Peace.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.